over your daughter's
age. The challenge is, I appreciate that.
All right.
The challenge is,
welcome to Speaking Millennial. This is episode 19. Elizabeth was 18, even though her age is 19.
Right. Well, she'll be 20 by the time this drops, right?
And I'm with my co-hosts, Bill Spadia and Jay Black.
Me, Jay Black.
And our favorite guest, because he is the owner of the Stress Factory, Vinny Brand.
I am here. I am here. And if you're watching on Facebook Live right now, throw some hearts up, because hearts make other people see that you're watching.
Yes.
So throw some thumbs up and hearts up.
Vinny, why aren't you on Facebook Live? Because you have more followers than Bill does.
That's hurtful.
Well, I have to tell you, a little bit.
The problem is I had inquired just moments ago if I could get the Town Square Media login.
Yes. Did you want the Wi-Fi? Is that what you wanted?
Wi-Fi.
You don't have unlimited data?
No, I'm Verizon. Chris.
Verizon sells every ounce of data that it can.
But Verizon rocks. On Wi-Fi too. All right, we're going to stick with Jessica's Twitter.
Yeah.
So let me retweet, because it's a third time Facebook crapped out.
I have a great idea, and I don't know if I should overstep my.
Go ahead.
I think we should just do the damn podcast.
We are.
Oh, this is it.
Yeah, this is it. We are a
minute
and a half.
Confusion. Here we are at Speaking Confusion Live.
I'm a really bad multitasker. I was trying to figure out what was going on with Bill's podcast and then Bill's live stream, and I forgot that we were doing a podcast.
I hope everyone's enjoying it because we certainly are.
Yeah. Listen. Not everything is going to be good. Everyone. A lot of times it's going to be terrible.
A lot of times you feel like you're hurting cats.
Are you still alive?
Did you say hurting or hurting?
Herding, like a corralling everyone into one place at
one time.
Because
if you're talking about hurting cats, Vinny Brand is the person to go to, because he does not like cats.
I get accused of being a cat lady, so I wouldn't hurt cats.
Did you know why people become cat people?
Why?
So there is a parasite that lives inside a kitty's heads. This is not true.
Is this fake news? Jay Black, fake news.
I think it might be true. There
actually.
Was a study.
No, did you not see this?
I'd like to cite right now.
There's a parasite. The way the parasite reproduces is it has to get inside of like a little field mouse, and then it has to get inside a cat. Problem is, field mice run away from cats. So it has to actually go into the field mice's brain and make the field mice more like cats more. So it actually changes the brain of the field mouse. So the field mouse goes, I like cats. So it gets eaten by the cat so it can reproduce. So they think that gets into the brain of people. And that's why you go from, because there's like people go, I'll have a cat. Then all of a sudden there's a person that goes, I need 785 cats in my house. You never see that with dogs. You never see it. You never heard of, I'm a dog person means I have 785
dogs.
Hold
on a minute. Let me just interject. There is someone, now I'm not going to name names.
No need to name names.
But you, if there was a similar issue with dogs, you're looking at somebody right here that has it. I think the last count is it 17?
It's four. And stop barking at me, Bill Spadia. Wait,
how many dogs do you have? 17?
Four dogs. We have four dogs.
It felt like 17.
Wait, but here's
how many kids do you have? More kids or dogs?
I have six kids, four dogs.
So we get to the front door. I knock on the door. And I hear chaos ensuing. And then a voice from beyond the door, do not open the door. Do not open the door. So I'm thinking he's got like some killer dog. Turns out, yes.
So, I've got some protective
dogs.
So,
A, there's no Robin the Brand household.
You were very, very bad idea.
So, and we love dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were ready to play with the dog. But no, not the one dog. Although he warmed up. Once you said, don't kill these wonderful people who are in my home now.
Once I tell you, once I tell the dog you're okay.
Yeah.
If I don't tell you the dog you're okay, the dog assumes you're not okay.
Right.
And and I love that.
Yeah, the dog defaults to not okay.
I'm a little disappointed that, you know, you have six kids, you didn't get six dire wolves. I thought you would go full Game of Thrones.
Can I tell you something? This is such a fun thing. So my wife and I recently acquired our pistols.
Do you need water?
Pardon? Yeah, you are. Do you need water?
I'm good. Don't worry. I got coffee.
I'm good. I'm going to step
right
out here.
We can't stop the podcast for another reason.
I worry, Vinny, because you're going to need water to shout at people on the way home. And maybe not here, but on the way home.
You know, my day is, today is long. Tomorrow I'm doing four radio shows in Philly in the morning. all back to back.
Oh, you're doing Punchline. That's right.
I'm doing Helium.
Oh, Helium. I'm sorry.
And yeah. So I'm doing four in a row.
What time's the show? Can we come?
Please come. It's 8 o'clock. I would love it if you. I would be
welcome
so happy
to buy all
came.
The tickets I want.
Are you going to come to the show?
What time? If it's at 8 o'clock.
Have you ever seen me do an hour?
No.
You really should see me do an hour. Because I'm very, very, very funny and very modest. And yeah.
I would have stopped at one very, but I agree with you.
You've never seen me do an hour.
I think you're great. I've seen you do an hour.
Have you seen me do an hour?
Absolutely.
Can you pick a different adjective? Like, I am extremely, very, super funny.
I am extremely, very, super funny. Yeah. Jess, I appreciate you pointing out that I should throw one in. This is the thing I like most about performing. Tomorrow, I will absolutely be rolling out at least 15. The whole hour is different than last year, there'll be 15 minutes that are different in the hour. I like the writing process.
And you're super excited about those 15 minutes, right?
I really am.
You're like, I got to get this out. People are going to know about this.
I hit creative streaks. Yeah. And I'm just reading this great book on the creative mind and on how the mind works creatively in spurts, according to this author. And she uses a lot of... famous writers.
Female author, I'm out.
But you know, he's turned into NBR.
I'm just joking. What just happened? I'm just joking.
He's talking about, I don't know.
Well, we're talking about the creative process.
It started about how funny he is, and now he's turned it into an NPR
episode. I thought
it
started with the dog was going to like maul me when I walked into your house.
Well, when you left the dog conversation.
What happened? You guys got all sick. Wait a minute. Am I the one that brings it down?
Insulting.
No, you make it fun and funny. What happened is.
I think it was
a little insulting that you got up and walked away when he wanted to tell his story.
No, I'm not insulted because Bill has severe ADD.
Not only that, if you recall, rewind the tape.
Oh, my
rewind
God.
The tape.
It's so loud.
Here's what I heard. I heard, how are you not getting Vinny some water?
Yes. And you are.
Right?
That's true.
Did we not all hear that? And the boss of the podcast over here says, go get Vinny water. It's people heard it.
You have ADD, but you're a friend with ADD. Unlike a friend with benefits. That's a different thing. You're a friend with ADD.
I'd prefer to be called the intern of the podcast, so I sound younger.
Is that it?
Yep.
All right, the intern. Well, if you were the podcast intern, you definitely should have gotten the water.
Yeah, you're not the intern. Right?
By the way, this is important. You don't want a friend with benefits who also has ADD, because she always starts and then stops. You don't want that to happen. You don't want to be like, hey, well, I lost track of what I was doing.
I feel like I interrupted a serious conversation.
This is why you didn't want to stream live.
This is why.
We were having fun.
Yeah.
And Jess said, you're doing Helium tomorrow. Because I had said that my throat's shot.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing a bunch of radio and whatnot. And then Jay said, you're doing Helium. And I said, I was funny and that I'm excited to do new stuff again because I'm always writing stuff.
Right.
And then Jess took umbrage with my four uses of the adjective very. Very.
Well, I thought it was very Trumpian because you were like, I'm very good and very funny. I'm funny. I'm the best funny. Very funny.
I don't say that I'm the best funny, but I will say that I am very funny.
You got to throw in this, very funny, I'm very funny, everybody knows I'm funny. You got to put in the everybody knows, this is known fact, I'm very funny.
Very funny. I enjoy it.
People are talking about on the internet
right, now,
how funny I am.
I am trying to tag you, I'm trying to go Facebook
the tag
Live
worked.
Again. It doesn't work.
Did you unfriend me?
Is that what happened?
No,
this is my third attempt at Facebook Live.
We should rename this podcast Old People Trying to Use Their Phones.
No, that should be the name of the podcast. I refuse to be called old.
Jessica, are you streaming this on Twitter?
Yeah, all of it.
All of this.
I don't know who would be engaged enough to watch this.
I don't know.
Bill Spadia tagged you in a post to add this to your timeline. Oh, go to timeline review. I have to actually authorize
that now?
Yeah,
you got to authorize. See, that's a huge pain.
What the hell is that all about? Speaking millennial, old guy
is trying to use Facebook.
No, that's new.
It's all grandpas on Facebook anyway.
What?
Oh, no, I know what it is. You're Facebook Living.
They will not let
you tag Facebook Live.
Why?
Because they don't want people hijacking people's Facebook stuff.
I guess that makes sense.
But it worked. There it is right there.
Are you fixing your hair? Using the Twitter stream to fix your hair? Is that what you're doing there?
All right, so we are now live.
No one
on
told
Facebook.
Me that my like part was not right, so kind of depend on
Jay
myself
was
here.
Wow.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to edit out all the boring parts of this podcast during the editing process. So this will be a 3-minute podcast, everybody. Enjoy. I hope you like.
All right. So back on track. I was talking about dogs. you had a dog and cat discussion at on stage.
Yeah.
And you really pissed somebody off.
Yeah, the discussion is so simple.
Yeah.
And I think cats are better than dogs.
Wait, let me just interrupt. I'm sorry. Jessica, you were making fun of me for not being able to do it. I don't think it's me.
Can I just have that thing so I can stop holding this?
Can I explain to you what's going to happen?
Yes, go ahead.
All of these Facebook Live interruptions are going to make people go, I can't listen to this podcast because it's more interrupted than the actual Facebook Live.
It's more interrupted than the friend with benefits who also has ADD. I can't finish.
So dog and cats.
So the joke was very simple. Is that I'm a cat person.
Yeah.
And the dog people always, oh, you know. And the joke is, cats are way better because no one gives a shit when a cat dies.
Right.
And a woman in the front row, a young girl. Mm-hmm. I run a cat shelter. I save cats.
Right.
And I'm like, what? You're moving the needle on humanity exactly in what way? I mean, no one cares about saving cats. Now, don't get me wrong. You save cats. You're a cat person. Great. But we're at a comedy club, and it's become an issue that people can get offended, and they're looking to get offended. And what I had said earlier is true. So let's say you offend one cat woman at a joke, at a show. Well, just a short 5 years ago, there was one cat woman that got pissed off. But now she can go on the internet, and she can reach all the cat lovers in the world in five strokes of the keyboard. And so that they can coalesce hatred. And, you know, comedy is something that happens because you're looking to make fun of something, you know, commiserate with people, maybe move the needle socially. But if you're not picking on something.
But this came up because of the girl from Jersey City at the Entrepreneurs thing last night. She was like, I'm into oddities and crafts.
Yeah.
And now I started this big business where I'm going to have a brick and mortar store in Jersey City and help the community.
Yep.
And we are all going to do the odd crafts we like to do together, and it's going to be great. And I made money off of it.
Yes.
Right. And you were like, you know how it's bad though?
Yeah. But I think Vinny's right in a lot of ways. There is benefit where people can get together and say, like, these are traits that we all share, and is that wonderful? I think the furries would not have existed without this. You know, the guys and girls like to dress up like pandas and have sex with each other.
Right.
But I agree with
Vinny. They deny it has anything to do with sex.
Yeah, you know what?
We've had them on Chasing News.
Oh, yeah. They straight up deny it.
I kind of insinuated that. I'm like,
what do they do?
The furries, these guys, they dress up. It's a whole cult thing. They dress up in animal costumes.
And every guy who's approaching his wife about a menage a trois was just joking. Just so you know. It's just, oh, honey, no. Wait, no, honey, why would I want that? I'm joking.
So we interviewed them. There's a convention. There's a furry convention every year.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I don't know how that even happened.
I'm pretty sure the furry convention was created for people to go have sex, right?
Yeah, of course
it was. Well, that's what alluded to when I asked the guy, I'm like, so this is, and they got offended. They're like, no, we love the costumes. This is what we do.
It's all about community.
Remember
and
that?
Blur.
It was awkward.
Do I have an erection the whole time I'm wearing it? I do, but it's not about the erection. It's just about the panda costume.
God, there you go. The explicit label. Boom. 13 minutes in.
Here's the point, right? So 50 years ago, if you like dressing up in fur and doing whatever furs do, you had to die with that secret quietly.
Furries.
And maybe, whatever you call them, and maybe at one point in your life you met one other furry.
This is the one time.
But now with the internet, you can go, hey, all furries, let's get together.
Furries assemble.
And they do. Listen, the internet is great.
Well, this is how this kid started this business. The business was a great idea because she took advantage of social media and said, if you like this bizarre art, come on in.
Look,
they sold almost $20,000 in a couple hours.
Yeah, and listen, here's
Think about that.
And I don't mean to make your podcast serious, but here's the thing.
Technically, it's your podcast. It's like,
but this is what the millennials.
We host it. You know,
the millennials.
It's all about the sponsors.
Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of the boss in here.
You
think about it.
You really are. You really are.
Here's the thing. This is what the internet done is even if from the business perspective, right? So if you wanted whatever you wanted, you had to go to a store to get it. And now, with the distribution center, you can go, look, I can sell, you know, whale art online. And I have a warehouse full of it because I'm global and I got everyone that wants a picture of a whale. And so the internet's changed everything, including the furries. I've never heard of furries before. Why are you relating it to sex? How is it?
Well, why else would you dress like a panda?
It's a convention where they all go to an expo center and spend a weekend
dressed as animals.
Going to the expo staying at the hotel.
I asked the question. I'm like, is this some kind of a weird fetish?
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I asked that question. All right, here's what happens. Facebook
Live is interrupting.
My Facebook Live, this is now the fifth time. Every time I get a call, it interrupts Facebook Live. Where's Zuckerberg? Somebody get him on the phone.
You need a burner phone.
I need a burner phone.
You need a burner phone that can do your...
I need a burner phone.
I'm getting a social media phone.
Look, it's back. I would imagine that the biggest problem with being a furry, sweat.
Yeah.
How do they handle like how does sweat management work when you're a furry?
I don't think you worry about it when you're at the sex convention.
No, I would. That's the only thing I'd be worried about at the sex convention.
Dune. I think it's like the movie Dune.
The Fremen, they have the water
and they recycle it. So
I don't think the furry's about a sex thing because they have sex conventions.
And by the way, riding
they just have those.
You should know riding giant sandworms, my fetish. You should be aware of that. That's how it all comes together.
I did not read the book, but I watched the movie Dune.
I read the books.
Remember Dune? I heard the books were good.
No.
The books were great.
There were several books.
What is it?
Dune.
About riding giant sandworms?
It's kind of.
The whole thing was interesting.
It's a Christ parallel.
Did you see the movie?
No, what is the movie?
No, what?
It's a Christ parallel. Paul Atreides is Christ.
I probably should have read the books.
But what is the book? What is the movie?
I don't know. Here's what I got out of it. They're in the desert.
The name of it? I don't know the name.
Dune. D-U-N-E.
Dune.
Like a sand dune.
That was a sci-fi thing, right?
Yes. So anyway, the movie stunk.
Right.
But what I got out of it, I made a Dune reference to the furries. You said sweat management. I'm like, oh, Dune figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
They would sweat into the suit. The suit would then recycle the sweat into water.
Got it.
And they would stay hydrated. Brilliant idea, actually.
Frank Herbert wrote Dune, which I always confused with Mr. Wizard. I was like, oh, Mr. Wizard. Remember Mr. Wizard with Don Herbert? I always thought that he wrote the book Dune. And then he was like, well, I made all this money. I'm going to teach kids science. Did you ever watch that Mr. Wizard show, by the way?
There are blank looks all around.
I thought you were talking about a high school science teacher for real.
Mr. Wizard had a show, and it was the best show ever. It was this Canadian TV show where he would, like, kids would come over and he would teach them about science. But it was great because the setup was he just had all the science stuff in his basement. And these Canadian kids would come to his house.
That was a sex thing. Hi, Billy. This is a chemistry kid. You want to see what I can do?
Billy, smell this beaker, Billy.
Why's it got to be Billy? Huh?
Why's it got to be Billy? How about Little Johnny? How about you do that?
Little Johnny's gross, man. You can't say Little Billy sounds like he's kind of.
I'm suspicious of everybody that has children at their house.
Yeah,
without. Yeah, I coach soccer, and the kids come over. I say, okay, parents, you're staying here.
Mm-hmm.
You sit on my deck, and you watch, and we'll be in the backyard. And I make a couple parents stay always.
Really?
Well, he's trying to get them into a key party.
Did you see the newscast? Kid in California who was just exonerated for a date rape situation, the girl pressed the date rape charge.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, he took advantage of me. I was drunk. Well, the security cameras actually have her grabbing his hand and pulling him out of the environment he was in and getting him into a cab. And you could see him actually almost resisting. And the girl's going, no, we're going. And he had said all along it was consensual. And they went out and they said, well, there's got to be video footage. You're in this environment. And they exonerated him with it. It was on the news yesterday. So now I go back to why I have parents over as kids. Yeah. Because look, let's just say I got a bunch of kids at my house. And maybe one family is having a lot of stress in their household for whatever reason. All right. It's not hard to imagine some kid who's not getting whatever emotional need he has going, you know what? I need some attention here. Coach, whatever, did X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
It happens. Look at poor Bill Cosby. Maybe that was a bad example. But everything else I said was very accurate.
You know, okay, two things. One, I love in your scenario that the kid has gone, where can I get the best attention from? Oh, the lunatic with the knife. I'm going to go talk to him. Yeah. I'm sure he's the one I should be chatting with.
The knife is out. The dogs alone, I can't believe there are kids at your house.
But the second point that I got to ask about strange kids.
Like, go ahead.
This comes to talking about speaking millennial. This is something I read about. You know, with Uber, they were saying that there's a culture there that is kind of toxic when it deals with men dealing with women. And somebody said, well, what we got, you don't want them to get into a Mike Pence situation. And I didn't know what that meant. And it's that Mike Pence will not have any time alone with a female staffer.
But you made fun of that. Or Hofstetter made fun of that.
Yeah, Hofstetter made fun of that.
I think he's smart, too.
I think he's smart.
I used to, I had a glass wall in my office My last job.
Let me tell you.
And I loved it. I did all my interviews there.
Did Eric come and stare at you?
Oh, that's a whole other story. We have to talk about that.
We're not going to pick on
him. Yeah, but we don't have to pick on him, but we do have to talk about the reality.
We should talk about that. But I do.
I love Eric Scott. I do. Thank you for sharing your headset.
I do want to address the the fact.
Don't touch his headset. Yeah.
But Hofstetter made fun of that. But I don't. You seem torn on it.
No,
I got it.
No, address what fact? Uber?
No, not Uber. That in a world where at any moment someone can say they were inappropriate with me, and we automatically and this is where I'm torn is I want to side with the victim because I know that most people do not make false claims. But in the instance where someone misunderstands or misinterprets, you're screwed. You are instantly screwed in that situation, and not the way you were trying to get screwed.
So you agree with Mike Pence?
Yeah, I agree with Mike Pence. I just wanted to bring up the topic.
This whole date rape on campus. I mean, the numbers are so far out of whack because everything gets reported, and you're guilty until they prove otherwise.
Can I
tell
you
something? Challenge.
I think back. Now you know I have five daughters, and I think back on the college stuff I saw at my fraternity. There's no doubt in my mind the date rape is a serious issue, and it happens all the time. And now that doesn't mean that there aren't falsely reported ones. But I'll tell you right now, like I tell my daughters, listen.
Well, you tell them don't go get drunk and hang out at the fraternity.
Yeah, but you know, right. Bill. Yes, of course.
I mean,
you could also get in a situation where, you know, someone slips something in your drink, and I'm telling you, like. I'm not an apologist at all, and I think though that we have to be real with what's happened over time. If you're a woman in the office in 1950, and you're walking by, and the guy just squeezes your ass, like
you say,
that
thank
shouldn't
you.
Happen.
Well, in the 50s, you say
no,
thank
but,
you,
but no, that but should, the you challenge know. Is that because they've skewed the numbers. And I had this argument on Chasing News. I said, when you say one out of five women is going to be sexually assaulted on a campus, you've now created a stat that is larger than the sexual assault in prison. Now, if that stat were true, no thinking father would send his young daughter to college. We know those stats couldn't possibly be true.
They can't be true.
They're not true.
And that takes
away from the real victims. That's what makes me crazy.
And I think what's happened is, and it's tied into this millennial thought, now we've gone from, okay, it's inappropriate to grab a girl's ass.
Right.
But it's also inappropriate to say, hey, you guys want to have lunch? Because you can't say guys because you've offended women. The microaggression concept has diluted and polluted an important conversation.
Let me ask Jess, because I do get weirded out when three middle-aged white guys are like, let's talk about what women...
Yeah.
Jess, would you be offended if there was a Mike Pence situation where you were like, hey, could I talk to you? And he said, not alone. Let's go somewhere where there's people. Would you be offended at that?
To my face, I guess, if he pointed it in that context, because it's like, wait, like you think I have weird intentions. But if I thought back on it after I worked for him and didn't know that was always his plan,
right.
And I was like, I can't think of a time we ever were alone together working, I'd be like, oh. All right, like he wasn't rude about it. He was just conscious to go to another open space.
So you would understand. You would understand, like in an environment where you know he could be accused at any time, it makes sense to say, "Let's always be with people."
I think if he were discreet about the fact that he was calling meetings in an open space, sure, okay. I would be like, "Whatever." That I understand that. I respect that. But if he was like, Let's go to the room where get your girlfriend, get my wife over here. We're gonna all sit down together. I'd be like, well, that's kind of accusatory,
right? Okay,
but listen,
that's an
I hear what you're
perspective.
Saying.
I didn't think of that.
I hear what you're saying. At the same time, a guy like Mike Pence or anybody in any position,
I just stopped both live,
yeah,
male or female, in any position, Oprah Winfrey, Mike Pence, doesn't matter. You are exploitable. So if Oprah Winfrey and I walk into an office together and I come out of that office and go, you know, Oprah made inappropriate comments. It's my word against hers. And what Jay said earlier is it's just accurate. There's a whole world of people that want to believe me over Oprah because they're jealous, because they're angry, because, oh, Oprah thinks she can do anything. So it's the same reason.
But in today's world, as a white guy, your credibility would never be held up equal.
I'll bet
to
you.
The woman. There's no way.
Well, the power differential there, I think.
Okay, let me tell you
maybe if it's Oprah.
With Oprah. Yeah.
But
Oprah.
if it's your office coworker, I don't buy it.
Well,
I think it is skewed so far against the average person out there that there's no way.
Well, I think if it's
men
me,
in particular, I think, you know,
yes.
Whether you're black or white.
If
I
it's
meant
two
men.
Unknown entities,
yeah.
I'm going to be guilty.
I think so.
Oprah and I were in Chicago together, and she made that ridiculous pass at me. And I said, you know what, Oprah? I'm going to report this. And I didn't because the people were going to believe.
Right.
No, seriously, though. If two equals, a male and a female, go into a room, and I come out and go, hey, that girl was inappropriate, it's going nowhere.
Right.
If the girl says it, I'm guilty. And the more position of power you're in, the more likely there's a whole world of people that want to believe you're guilty.
Right.
So Mike Pence, maybe it's offensive, but I think it's,
yeah.
Wow.
No, I think it's a smart move just in what you're saying there, that you can't defend yourself in that situation. And I'm not saying that there's a raft of girls going, we need to get Jay.
No, but you also have to have, there's a trust level between women you know,
right,
and strangers.
Look, that woman
and
in California.
If you can't build that trust level, it's hard to function.
Go look at the video of that girl grabbing that young,
yeah,
and he's Indian or Pakistani.
But did they hook up
at
a bar?
White. Right.
What's the context? Did they hook up
listen.
At a bar or were they friends?
They were in a bar. They met at the bar. He's also Indian or Pakistani or something.
Yeah.
So think about what happened. Here's a white girl saying, this dark man date raped me. And those charges were going forward. This guy had to get a lawyer. This guy's life was going to be destroyed. His education thrown out of college.
No one's defending women here. Like, sometimes that does happen.
But
and
yes,
it's not fun for the girl to go through and extend the whole process and all
true.
The memories. And those will drag on for like 4 years of her life. She will have to relive that one night.
Two points. A, I started out by saying, I remember my days in college and I know what happened and it's serious conversation. So, bullshit to you. And two, what I'm saying is I'm agreeing with Bill as well because I'm sucking up to everybody at this podcast. What
you really are.
Yeah, but you're both right.
But to Jessica's point, I agree. And the challenge is that when everything is date rape, nothing is. So
right.
Those women that, it's
right.
The same thing I said when the governor pushed through this bullying law. I said, if everything is bullying, nothing is bullying.
Correct.
If everything is rape, nothing is rape. Because now, how do I differentiate from
right.
The thing that happened at Duke to the thing that happened at Columbia? How do you differentiate to the one girl who's now going to be dragged through the mud because there are a lot of guys out there reading Rolling Stone and everything else and saying, oh, well,
you know,
I can dismiss that. So now your credible, real claim,
right.
I take with a grain of salt.
You
They've
right,
done the worst damage to the real victims.
You go right back to Tawana Brawley and say,
exactly,
this has happened racially and
yes,
sexually. In other words, across both lines there.
You know what I think? What we just pointed out is what perspective brings to a situation, because we can't help but see it through the light of a male gaze, because it's, in our mind, it's like we could at any time be put into a negative situation because of this. And Jessica is sitting there going, and rightfully so, like, is anybody else worried about like the girls? Like, there's a lot of rape that it happens. And
but,
I understand where you're coming
from.
But you can't
but
get
Jessica,
out of your own perspective.
I think you would be just as harsh on a woman who falsely accused somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
but I think
that reason,
Jay didn't listen to both Bill and I agree with Jess and point out how serious it is.
Jay, I think
you and Jessica need to listen a little better on the podcast.
That is true. And you know what, Jess? If you could smile a little more, you look so pretty if you smiled. If you just smiled every once in a while, I don't know
right,
why
you know
so
what Jay, you know what Jay
right
just
there.
Said?
Wait
yeah,
a minute, right
you know
there.
Yeah. Jay just kind of said, you know what? I like when a chick smiles. Why don't you do your job, sweet cheeks?
I did that on purpose. You could tell that I was doing that on purpose, right, Jess?
A little microaggression from Jay.
I'm just
no
gonna
to
turn
win.
Jay's mic off, and he's out.
That's it.
That was,
Jay, you're out. I'm out.
No,
Jay's
out.
Oh,
Jay's
I was
out.
Doing
yeah,
that
yeah.
with perfectly no.
Did
one
you say that happened to you the other day?
That was totally
smile a little bit more.
You were like, I was joking, and then the girl was like, no, that's wrong.
Oh yeah,
wrong.
No, that was a comedy bit that I was doing.
I think what we've learned here today is that
What's
no
that?
One should be in a room alone with Jay Black.
That's true.
Okay, because it's going down. It's going down fast.
Yeah. I think we could even vote on that. Yeah,
I can tell you 100%, if you're alone in a room with me, no one has ever gone down fast. Not once in my
Jay,
life.
Jay, now make an inappropriate sexual innuendo during a very serious and heartfelt conversation about broads getting abused.
I think you guys are only concerned about this because you've got daughters in college or going to college.
I tell you, my 17-year-old daughter is going away next year. Yeah. And we just had a very serious conversation. And I said to her, look, you have to know something. You go out. Now, my daughter is, you know, she's not a partier, right? I said, but when you go out, you can't, even a friend, you can't let a friend, guy, hand you an open drink. Because the bottom line is, yeah, and listen, this goes back, remember when we were kids, the back of a magazine, they still have them, but the back of a magazine would openly advertise Spanish Fly.
Right.
Put her in the mood, okay? And, you know, what's Spanish Fly? What was a drug to lower your inhibitions? I mean, so is alcohol, but...
Do you go anywhere and take an open drink from anyone? No. I don't do that.
No.
You know why? Because I'm grossed out by other people. Think of the bacon toucher.
Oh, the bacon
this
touch.
Happened. The bacon. I don't touch the open bacon anymore. Right.
That was crazy. Well, remember that? I thought you were talking about the guy that dropped off bacon leftover
remember
from
that
the dinner.
Guy?
You think that doesn't happen? You think that guy's driving from the diner every day not going, oh, let me take a lick at that sandwich.
Oh, come on. Hey, look. Thou shalt not speak ill of other sponsors. Let's just keep it in check, Vinny.
Bill, that bacon, when you said bacon toucher, that woman was a bacon handler.
Yeah.
She handled every piece of bacon.
By the way, bacon toucher is something you can be called at a furry convention. A lot of people don't know that if you're
Jay can't focused, get out of the gutter. Jay cannot.
Vinny, this happens. You're probably rethinking this whole sponsorship. I should have let you listen to the first few episodes.
I think I'd rather sponsor the furriers.
The furriers we support.
The furriers come and kill the furriers.
Right. I've often said they make great coats.
I'm A-okay with my son, you know, whatever sexuality or gender fluidity my son embraces, but if he's a fetishist, I'm out.
You're out. You're going to have a huge issue with that.
I can't have him bringing a girl dressed as like Captain Hook to Thanksgiving dinner and say like, you know, she makes me walk the plank. It's the only way I can get an erection. I can't. I would not be able to deal with that. Like, if, you know, I dress as Winnie the Pooh. She puts me in a honeypot. Like that would, I would be out. I would
be
like
too much.
You're not my son.
I'm glad I stopped the live stream when I did.
Yeah. Okay, next topic.
If he brings home.
Yeah, I think next topic. Thank you very much.
It got ugly. It got ugly, Jay.
Let's see if Jay can turn this into a sexual reference.
If you watch.
If
you watch.
If he brings home a My Little Pony and says, this is my girlfriend, I'm out. I'm out the door. You can't be dating a My Little Pony doll. I'm sorry.
What you mean a girl that's My Little Pony?
Yeah, not, you know. And
we had dogs. But
the dogs. No, keep talking amongst yourself. We're planning the podcast. This is an editorial meeting happening.
Was it dog the bounty hunter when I wrote down dog, though?
Could have been.
Maybe.
He's on the current
Is that the
podcast
that's out last week?
Yeah,
even though it's today, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
So we met her. Right. Oh, yeah, because it was
episode like
a coincidence that it came out newsworthy at the same time.
Yes, our podcast dropped today. Thank you, sponsor. Not today. Today is 2 weeks from now. Two weeks before, on the day that we recorded this podcast,
we had
2 weeks ago.
So my plug should be, hey, 2 weeks ago, I appeared at Helium.
Yes. Okay. It was great. You did awesome.
I was telling my parents how beautiful I thought Beth was in person.
Yeah. Beth
Who's
is
Beth?
A very
the bounties, the bounties
Beth
girl?
Beth Chapman, dog, the bounty hunter's wife.
Right.
She very
lost
attractive.
Lost a ton of weight, right?
Is that what it was?
Well, the internet has.
That usually helps.
No, the internet has like a whole thing because I guess because I've been Googling Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I was going to say, we've spent a lot of time on the internet.
Well, because like you get to the end of, you know, whatever news you're reading, there's always those six articles like, hey, come check these other articles out. I guess I Googled Dog the Bounty Hunter because every other article goes, see what Beth Chapman looks like now. You won't believe it. She lost all this weight. And I'm always like, why? How do they know that I've been Googling this? Well, it's Google.
So Google knows. Yeah. So, do you get sidetracked? I do. Maybe it's my ADD.
When you get what?
I have an issue paying attention sometimes. And every time I go to a news article, I always click on the, you got to see the 25 most amazing photos.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that
does that? Yeah, they call it, right?
What's that?
It's called clickbait.
Clickbait.
It works. Clickbait works.
Totally works.
But then it takes a while to scroll through.
Yeah, because you're always got to, you got
to hit. Do you ever do that?
Well, once I see that, I have to go through two more to see what.
The one I wanted.
Whatever the celebrity was looked like when she was in high school.
Yeah.
Right. I'll tell you the one that made me stop doing it. It was a picture. I forget who the picture was of a star.
Yeah.
And it said, the thing was, stars we've lost. Hey, I'm like, that guy's not dead. And I clicked through trying to find when he died. Like, how did I miss that? I get all the way to the end. It never mentioned him.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, that's the best clickbait ever, but I stopped. The ones that also get me, too, are the World War II photos. I got it because I, you know.
Me, too.
I got to look at this.
The ones that get me are whatever the cast of a movie I watched, what do they look like now?
Yes.
Like, oh, let's see what the cast of the Goonies look like. And then,
what's Jan Brady up to?
Do you still do that, though? Because I feel like that's been around now for a couple years. Like 4 years in, you should say, I don't need to see what they look like.
It's the same thing when it comes to like food I shouldn't eat or people I shouldn't hang out with, or, you know, I'm including Vinny in this. You go like, I should not do this, but I'm doing it. It's like you can't stop your finger from going down to the click. It's like, I got to see what Mr. Belvedere looks like now. And by the way, it's a skeleton.
Have you noticed ever that when you are on the scrolling photos and you want to scroll, and I've noticed this, and I don't know if it's, I want to know if it's just me. So let's say you're looking at the cast of Goonies.
Yeah.
And you pull up the first Goonie and you go to get the second one and the arrow says next. And as you go to click the arrow,
you get an ad.
Well, the ad, the page jumps.
Yeah.
And you click on the ad inadvertently.
Yep. I know.
That's designed that way. So it's designed that way.
By the way, the cast of Goonies, Sean Astin is fat in a way now that makes it look like his body's hurting. Like he's fat in a way that it looks like his body's trying to escape itself.
He exploded. He had an internal explosion.
Yeah, Sean Astin not looking good.
Yeah, how old?
I think
78.
You've touched on my most. This is my biggest. I shouldn't say biggest. It's one
of my. We're about to enter a therapy session.
Yeah.
No. I'm excited. I get annoyed. Jay pointing out some guy got fat.
Yeah.
And Jay would technically be fat shaming that guy.
Yeah, a lot.
But it's just a conversation. But yeah.
I guess you are.
Fat shame people with your words. You fat shame people with your body.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, fat people, the people that are very, very fat.
Did you hear Jay Lester say that last week?
No, I didn't understand. He did say that. What did that mean, though?
But
like, what do you mean? Because he's so thin.
If you're in good shape, you make other people feel bad.
I didn't understand
what you
meant.
So you don't have to actually say things.
Do you get that?
To fat shame them.
That what?
Jay Lassiter. Who is, he's a writer for what, NJ Inside or Insider NJ?
He's a recovered addict who does a lot of stories like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super thin. He's like a gay rights advocate. He's got all kinds of causes. And he and I agree with like 2 or 3 out of 100 things. But I like him. We're friends.
Right.
And so what did he say?
He said, you don't shame people. You don't body shame people with your words. You body shame them with your body. So
because he's super thin and in shape.
Be in shape, and then you don't actually have to say anything to be rude, just being there.
So in other words, if you're in very good shape, you shouldn't
Just fat shaming everyone around
just
you.
Just by walking around.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you think of that?
See, I've heard that concept before. And there's a guy at my beach. The guy's in unbelievable shape.
What beach do you go to?
We go to Little Monmouth. And if you're listening, guy on the beach who's in great shape, and you knew who the hell you were, he does yoga on the beach, but it's so awkward because everyone's like,
awkward.
Dude, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Right.
But I find him riveting.
So you're staring at him. Like, you're his audience.
Yeah. And Vicky's like, stop staring. I go, Vicky, he's doing that for people to stare.
Look, Vicky.
It's like when I see a guy with purple hair, I go, hey, dude, your hair purple. And Vicky's, dude, don't say that. I go, you think he doesn't know? You think that guy didn't go buy that shade of orange or pink or purple that's in his hair?
He walked into the hair salon and said, I like that grimace. I want to look like Grimace.
Well, all the people, when they come in for a job with me, and they come in with the big holes in their ears, and I'll say to them, I can't hire you.
Yeah.
And they'll go, why? I go, because your ears are all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And Vicky gets mad at me, because you can't say that. I go, Vicky, I can say that.
Yeah,
I can say that. And a guy said to me one day, dude, that's racist. I go, no, it isn't. We're both white. Maybe if your ears were black, you could accuse me of being racist, but you're all white. You're all, I can't do it. I go, what you ought to do, I said it right to his face, you ought to go home, get a surgeon, because his were gigantic.
Yeah.
Get a surgeon to repair that. You're going to have stitch marks. And tell people you got bit by a shark. Because there's no other way to employ you.
The dude that got bit by the shark, you hire.
You hire. Because that guy's a survivor.
There's no other way to be employed.
He's a good story. He's a good talker.
So I'll say on stage, if I see somebody with the big ear things, I always say, oh, that's just your way of letting everybody know you're not an orthodontist. Because I can't imagine that there's ever, like he could be the best orthodontist in the world. If you walked in, he had those big ear things, you'd be like, I'm good. You know what? I'll deal with the messed up teeth. I'm all right. But yeah, we were talking about before we got onto the shark thing. What were we talking
about?
Dogs. No, I had a point before that.
We've been all over.
It was a good point, and now I've lost it.
I feel like you're always good about coming back to those points.
Yeah. Right before Vinny, you were talking.
Not today.
Are you tired?
No, I'll tell you, there's so many things going on in this podcast. This podcast blew through 785
topics. Is it too
serious?
I feel like it's a good podcast.
It got very serious, but that's okay.
It's a shame that I didn't have my list of things brought in.
Yeah, where's the list?
Well, I know it was dog, and then we wanted to talk about pot.
Oh, fat shaming. No, I know fat shaming. I had a question about fat shaming. I want to get your opinion on this. I ran into an ex-girlfriend at a Barnes & Noble, and when I say she ballooned up, like 125 pounds. Like, uh-huh. She immediately after we broke up, she was like, you know what? I'm going to get into competitive eating.
Feel good about yourself?
No, I had no opinion on it except I was looking at the books at Barnes & Noble. I hear, Jay, I look up and I don't recognize her because there's like literally three more of her than there used to be just in one dress. And I was like, oh, hey, you? Like, I thought she was like a fan maybe or something. She's like, it's me. It's, you know, insert name here. And I was like, oh.
Shallow Jay.
No, but I had to do that thing.
That's good.
I had to do that thing where you're like, you know what? You changed your hair. And I right. didn't recognize you because you have to do that moment. But like, we both
you
know.
Put it under our
Wait,
big...
are you saying people do that on purpose?
No.
Because they don't want to say no. you lost 100 pounds?
No. So you,
no, she gained
100. She gained 100
pounds. Oh, she gained 100. You know, I was thinking.
I had to say, you changed your
I
hair.
I got distracted.
And she was like, sure, I changed my hair. And we both had that moment where it's like, well, you actually put on 125 pounds. That's why I didn't recognize you. Right. But my thinking
That's
on this,
awkward.
And I just want to get your opinion. I feel like if you gain or lose more than 100 pounds, you should be forced to send postcards like a Megan's Law to everyone
like
that
a
you
Christmas
used to,
card.
Used
like, to know, here, like where I'm, here's where I'm at. Like,
yeah, or at least you should be forced to lead every conversation with that.
Oh, good.
Or, okay. Yeah. Hi, Jay. I know you don't recognize me. I'm very fat now.
Yeah.
Or Jay can get on Facebook and already know that, like the rest of the planet.
I'm required by Jason's law.
Or there's that.
Oh, you don't recognize me. I can no longer ride the roller coaster. Let me say this. I don't care. I look at heavy and thin the same way. I'm a health advocate. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know very fit people that are not healthy. They eat terrible. They eat a lot of bacon. And I try and get them to stop. You know, when I eat with you, I say, and you're in very good shape.
What are you talking about?
You're in very good shape. You're hot. And
wow, awkward. Thank you. And
no, that's not awkward.
All right, thanks.
I'm 100% heterosexual.
You
and
are
I can
98.
I can identify when a man is good looking. Nothing wrong with that. And you're so, very hot.
But you object. Thank you. But you I got nothing.
He's not breaking eye contact.
I didn't
break your
eye contact. I'm breaking eye contact with him.
As a heterosexual man.
I want
man,
you to look at me when I say it. Didn't look like Jess, Bill.
I can say unequivocally, I want to kiss you for about an hour.
No, I don't want to kiss him. I don't want to kiss him. I recognize that Bill is a very good looking man. And
you know what's disturbing? The way you hit the very.
That's very, very
there's, good there's an emphasis
if
there.
You said very.
Bill, do you think you're good looking?
I think you think I'm good looking, and thank you. So back to the bacon.
No, I see now.
Your
now,
point was
the
that there are people
My
who are in
is,
shape.
I never.
Some.
Fat.
I don't have bad eating habits though.
What?
Well, I think
you like you just ate a bag of
beef
well,
jerky and
jerky
scotch.
Last
I
night.
Did. I
and here's my thing: when I see someone's very very heavy, and I try and encourage them to lose weight,
right.
It's not because you're fat. I don't care what you look like. I'm concerned for your heart, your liver, your kidneys. All of that stuff. And when I have a very good friend of mine, the guy's in great shape, 45 or 50 years old, loading his truck. He had a heart attack by his truck. You would never.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he is all right. He fortunately.
So, but isn't a lot of that just genetic?
It is genetic. Honestly. But my point is only about fat people. Like someone will say to me, well, you're not. You fat shame somebody. I go, no, I'm not fat shaming anybody. I could care less. You live your life the way you want, but you should be healthy, which is why I think having fat Barbie is an awful idea. Because if Barbie, if the argument is that Barbie was being used as a metric that women should shoot for,
mm-hmm.
and therefore we should have a fat Barbie, well, will you change the metric to a fat Barbie? Listen, change the metric and call her Fit Barbie. Or healthy Barbie, make her, you know, whatever. She doesn't have to have a 38 double D, but she can be fit Barbie. Okay. And I think if you're telling me, if the argument is that this Barbie inspired women, well, don't have a fat Barbie because now you're going to inspire people to be heavy. And we know that's an unhealthy lifestyle.
And I just want to bring up, I had He-Man growing up and I felt shamed by He-Man.
What is He-Man?
He-Man was an action figure that he was like a bodybuilder. From outer space, and he had 37 abs. He had more abs than a human body like actually has. And I remember looking at it going, well, I guess this is what I'll look like when I grow up.
Yeah.
And then I grew up and I was like, I don't look like that.
I had Stretch Armstrong. Remember Stretch Armstrong?
No.
I do remember Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong was a soft rubber doll man, and you could stretch him.
So by the Barbie logic, you probably were like, how come I can't stretch my arms?
You're like, how come I'm not taller?
I have arm stretching.
I will tell you that. So my 17-year-old very competitive athlete. My 14-year-old, very competitive athlete. And when I talk to them about their diet, it's always with reference to how to fuel your body properly for competition. Right. Now, my daughter's being recruited, and we sat with a coach one day, and I said to the coach, do you have a good dietitian, team dietitian? And what he said immediately was, oh, you know, we have therapists that work with the runners, because a lot of the runners become, they
anorexic.
Have food issues.
Right, anorexic.
Right. Yeah. And I said, no, coach, I'm not worried about that at all. I want my daughter to fuel properly.
Right.
And I do it for myself. Like, I was drinking the Muscle Milk, which now I went to GNC yesterday. I'm done with Muscle Milk. I have three left to drink. I'm done, because it's got, according to them, an unhealthy protein, and it's loaded with creatine. And I'm taking creatine, and I don't want to get kidney stones or whatever the hell it is you get when you have too much creatine.
Yeah, no.
I think it'd be funny if it was like, yes, we have a very good dietitian. It's Dr. Pepper. She's right here.
Well, you know what's funny? Every college we went to, during the college tour, this is before she met with the coach, every college tour stopped in the cafeteria and said, and you want to know something? You can come in here. You can eat all you want as long as you want. And I said to my daughter, I go, that is it's a selling point, because we've become food obsessed with this country. Right. You shouldn't go in and eat somewhere and eat all that you can all the time. Especially if, like, the one college, and it's a good school, it's a great school. And they go, you can come in here and have pizza all day long. And I'm like, is that what we're pushing at the Ivy League today?
But isn't that, they want you to know you're getting your money's worth. I mean, everybody's, right?
It is. Yeah. I mean,
isn't that more about discipline?
Yeah, well, this
is. And if you're an athlete, I mean, when I was in college and I was lifting every day.
What sports did you play?
What's that?
What were you? Were you?
No sports in college.
No, so I would have taken you to be a rower.
No, I would have said lacrosse. And I would have, said
lacrosse.
Like, total douchey.
Your son plays lacrosse, right?
Did you go to the Marine Corps after college? So were you in ROTC?
No.
So you did 4 years of school. Where'd you go to school again?
Yeah, BU.
Okay, great
and
school.
And then I went in the Marines. But I'm saying my appetite, lifting and in the Marines,
right?
You were eating because you're burning it. Like,
you're burning
rowers, talking about the rowers. And the swimmers, look at Michael Phelps.
Oh, yeah.
Guy burns 12,000 calories in a day.
But it's also mostly munchies.
Can I ask you a question about your, because we've never had this conversation, and it's really intriguing to me. So you were Marine Corps for 4 years?
4 years.
And you loved it?
Well, no, I did 8 years as a reservist. I loved it.
So you did
so
basic.
You do the active, you do basic, you do your training, and then you're committed for 8 years.
So you were never active?
I was active only for the training.
And the training,
then I never got activated.
Training was incredible.
Awesome.
You loved it?
Loved it.
See, I'm really intrigued. Vicky and I were talking about you the other day, and I said, Bill, fascinating, because I wish I did the military, and I didn't. And I said, Bill's fascinating.
You would have loved it.
I think I would have loved it. And I'm very impressed that you did it. Vicky and I were talking. She was just
shaking his head. Yeah.
No, I got a call from the Army recruiter when I turned 18, and I had to stop him like 3 minutes in. I was like, okay, listen, I'm going to save you a lot of time.
Do I have to do this?
This is
what
not
was the pitch.
It was basically, you want to serve your country? And I'm like, I think I can serve my country with my humor. but no, they
wow.
Yeah. Well,
and
listen,
my sexist.
What do you think about that?
Well, I wanted to go ROTC at Rutgers.
Okay.
And I had no real college direction from my parents. My parents never went to college, and I didn't know anything about college. When I went to Rutgers, I wanted to join the ROTC, and I had one recruiting session, but then I pledged to fraternity, and I really wish I went ROTC. I would have went ROTC. You graduated first lieutenant.
Totally different experience, though.
Of course. Yeah. Not the Marine Corps. No,
I mean from fraternity to ROTC, like your college experience is completely different.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't want to do that because it was like 4 years of boot camp.
Yeah.
They were getting up at 5 a.m. and they were running. I'm like, what?
You were waking up at 2.
I was getting up at 2. What are you doing?
I wish I did. I don't know if I'm tough enough to have been a Marine. I would like to think that I'm tough enough to be a Marine. I don't know if I am tough enough to be a Marine.
You got the knife.
I do have the knife. But Marines use their bare hands. You want to hear something funny? We're in Hawaii. We went for an outrigger canoe ride. And we're talking to this great guy. He's Hawaiian. And they teach you about the Hawaiian culture. And we saw some kids swimming. They were 3 miles offshore, maybe further. And they were flying.
Yeah.
These kids, young kids. Yeah. Well, we canoed over towards them. And the one kid actually said, let's race. And I'll tell you,
let's race the canoe.
We had five people rowing. That kid, we beat him, but we didn't trounce him. He could swim. I never seen him swim like that. But the guy said, you know, he goes, it's amazing. Out here, we'll be 15 miles. He does competitive rowing. They've rowed between the islands. It's 40-some odd miles. He goes, we'll be 15 miles out, and we'll see a guy, and we'll row over to him. He goes, and we row over to him. They're always elite forces training. Wow. He goes, and we'll row over to see if they're in trouble. He goes, and more than once, they row up. They're in a canoe. They got water. They got provisions. They're doing 40 miles. He goes, and the guy will pop his head up and go, are you guys okay?
Yeah.
And they're swimming with a backpack on.
How can I help you?
I would not survive basic training because the sergeant would come over to me and go, you think that's funny? I'd be like, yeah, that's hilarious.
Jay would have had trouble don't in make basic it. Training.
Oh, I would
some
be,
people don't make it.
No, everything. Because they always do that thing
though,
in the movies.
Because you are, it's like nothing's funny.
Yeah, that's it.
You are broken down. First of all, you get on a plane, and so I enlisted in Boston. I think everybody thought I was nuts. I was graduating college, and I enlisted.
I just want to hear them shout that you're nuts in that Boston accent. What are you doing? I can't.
It was like that.
I'm very impressed by it.
Well, so here's what they do. Thank you. But so you fly out middle of the night, and then they put you on a bus. And then the bus, like, they force you to be up. You are up for 24 hours.
I'm already out on the
bus.
So
my signature on my contract was done after I was up for like 30 hours. And they're yelling at you. And it's like off here. And I'm like, how does that work?
So,
I like it because, and then they shave your head and take all your clothes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
And they reissue everything else.
Yeah. When you're on the plane, were they all recruits? Or that's just a flight?
No, you're flying a flight.
So it's like your last moment of being a civilian.
Yeah, but you're all quiet.
And then when you get on the bus, is it all?
Then you land in the airport before the bus comes, and they make you sit, because you get in the middle of the night, and you sit, and you like, you know, the waiting room, the regular area, and you're silent. And there are a couple Marines there to greet you, and then the bus comes.
Yeah. I would have said, I would like a car, please.
You guys so now you get on the bus. It's all recruits.
All recruits on the bus.
And everybody's wide-eyed going, what the hell did we do?
Yeah. What did I just do? What did I just get myself into?
You know what?
And then you get into the room. There's a receiving room. And you have to sit up straight. And they give you one chance to empty your pockets and report any contraband. You can get tossed if you don't. So there's a contraband pile. And all I'm thinking, I'm looking, and I'm like, what knucklehead didn't know that you couldn't bring the bong and the lighter and like there's a pile of all this shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, how did they not know not to bring that?
That guy Vinnie Brand bought a knife.
Vinnie Brand brought a knife.
And that's how this could come in handy.
And that's who you signed up to hang out with all the time.
And that was it. Right, exactly.
I think that the US military.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going out on a limb here saying this. When I see someone who's in the military successfully, meaning that they haven't blown out,
right,
they're always squared away, they're sharp, they're just it's a different breed of human being when the Marine Corps is done with you, and I have a lot of respect for it. I'll tell you that.
Are you including Bill with his hippie hair over there?
No, you know what? I gotta tell you, Bill's a man's man, and in many ways, like you cannot. Dress that way without being able to throw down and take care of yourself.
That's true. That's true.
Hey, speaking of contraband and not knowing what you're going to do, we're coming back. We're going to get on the flight, and there's a guy in Hawaii going, look, empty out of your bag all fluids. Anything over whatever the ounce quantity it is, you can't have on the flight.
Simple instructions.
And he's saying, look, the reason this line is backed up is that when people have water in that bag, we take a lot of time to examine the bag, and they do. So the guy says, making the speech over and over and over, and the line's barely moving, and you could see them really going through and making sure that nothing getting on the plane. The guy in front of us, directly in front of us, he right away, he has a water bottle, and the guy's already said, you can't have water. He says, can I have this? And the guy goes, no, that's water. You can't have that.
Yeah.
Right, he gives the water up, and the guy goes, any fluid, any aftershave, any shaving lotion, any toothpaste,
liquid,
any form of liquid cannot go on past this point. So help me God. The guy is like, well, what about this? He has the water. No, he can't have the water. Then he takes out a thing of milk. Can I have milk? No. Guy goes, that's fluid. You can't have that. I'm not making this up. Shampoo, cologne, water, toothpaste, and then the peak, he takes out a thing of French's mustard. I'm like, and I said to my wife, I go, I'm not even trying to be funny. That guy's making me nervous. I don't want him on my flight.
Yeah.
Because right. This is a guy
who travels with mustard.
Right. This is a guy that says, oh, let me have a little bit of this. Mustard. French's mustard. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me?
Is that even liquid? Like, I don't know. Can you bring that on?
Yes.
I'm gonna talk about what a big star I am. I once had lunch with Corey Feldman, and you know, from the License to Drive and the Goonies. Oh, Goonies! Another Goonies.
Goonies.
I know what he looks like.
See that? I love the. You came right back to it.
I know what he looks like now because I had lunch with him, and I feel like he's probably not gonna listen to this. So I won't get in trouble. We're having lunch, and he pulls out his own ketchup, which I was like, that, now this is same thing.
That.
And he goes, no, I'm a vegan. And I was like, yeah, but hold on, it's ketchup. Like, last I checked, we weren't, like, hunting wild tomatoes. And he was like, there's bull's blood in every bottle of Heinz.
What?
I'm not making this up. This is an actual conversation I had with Corey Feldman. He goes, you don't know this.
To the Google.
And he goes like this, you don't want to know. They don't want you to know this. And I'm like, yeah, because it's not true. Like, this is not a conspiracy. Like, I can't imagine, as much as you might not like John Kerry, Teresa Heinz is not sitting there going, guys, we got to get bull's blood into the population.
It is red.
Yeah, that's the only reason why. You know, he was sitting there going, you know what? This makes sense. I'm going to carry my own ketchup with me. Yeah. He believed it to the point where he carried his own ketchup. And I was just like, you know, Corey, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if this project's going to work out that we're talking about here.
I think I'm going to do that as a topic on the radio because I now all of a sudden want to hear from listeners. And I realize that we're 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, but about like different dumb theories that people have.
I gave a speech at some event.
Do you want to carry stuff for people or see what they carry around with
them? Right. Do they carry around their own condiments? I gave a speech. I'm about to go on. And I lost my, like, all I'm thinking, the guy next to me, the dinner comes. I'm the keynote. And I'm totally distracted because the guy next to me goes in. He's got a little pouch I didn't even notice under his jacket. Pulls out a little salt, a little pepper, and hot sauce.
See, lunacy.
I'm like,
lunacy.
Who the hell does that?
I just Googled bull's blood and ketchup.
Okay.
And you would think that that there may be one reference to bull's blood and ketchup. Okay, so top one is from PETA. I've heard that ketchup contains animal blood and or other things. PETA says, no, never encountered that. Then there's another one, fake news buster, blood, urine, cocaine, and ketchup. Ketchup is made of blood, urine, cocaine. Another one, does Heinz ketchup have cow's blood in it? No, but there's like a 400 articles.
Yeah,
see where Corey Feldman started.
Yeah, Corey Feldman right now. I can tell you, has not read any of those because he believes it fully. Yeah.
Listen to this, article number 7. There's Corey Feldman's blood in ketchup.
I two things I want to say. One, right now my pockets are filled with loose relish. Two, that I believe that cocaine is in ketchup. Because I buy 14 bottles a day.
The good news is I think we've named the podcast, but we have to go to the other job.
Okay, just real fast. Have you ever eaten a vegan restaurant? Vegan restaurant?
No.
Oh, yeah, there's one called Veg in Philly.
Is it good?
It's one of the best restaurants in Philly.
I got to tell you, in Red Bank, New Jersey,
there's
a place called Good Karma Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, try and get in there. Really? I mean, you can get in. They don't take reservations, but you're going to wait.
What do you get there, though? Do you get like the vegetable creation of what you wish were meat, like the burger.
It's awesome.
I'm not into it.
Yeah. You get payback for all your deeds at the Good Karma Cafe.
Is that
Bill?
Do they dress it up like it's going to be a fake burger, or does it actually just like a cooked carrot?
Exactly.
No, well, they make a lasagna that's a vegan lasagna.
Oh, my mom made that the other day.
How was it?
It was like cheese and tomatoes, and then instead of lasagna noodles, it was the... sliced zucchini.
Wait, your mom made.
I gotta tell you, zucchini. I'll tell you what
it was. Zucchini.
Well, wait, the vegans don't eat cheese, though. So what do they substitute for the cheese? That just sounds gross.
Whatever it was
right. No animal products. Is that
I gotta say this though, Jess. Your mom.
No
made...
animal. No cheese. No products. Correct.
No eggs.
Delicious.
Well, zucchini as a replacement for lasagna noodles. Delicious.
It was so disappointing.
Really? You didn't like it?
I was like, I'd really like some lasagna.
Yeah. Like, where's my pasta?
Your mom made vegan lasagna on a Monday.
I'm going to
Does she just hate Garfield?
Let's do it.
I'm going to maybe do like a pool party and just invite people I know to and from the industry that I like.
Will I be able to get eggs?
Hey.
Are these guys
just so bad?
Vinny, am I getting an invitation to your pool party?
Yeah, Bill, when I'm talking about the pool party,
Vinny,
are you inviting them Vinny, to I'm your in pool the party? And I'm not there. Listen,
are you excluding Jessica?
Am I excluded?
Of course.
Jay, maybe Jay's not.
Would.
Jay's not sure.
He said would.
Vinny, here's how I hang out.
I'm technically in the industry.
You're invited. Jay is. We're not sure.
Here's how I hang out.
Yeah.
In the industry, because
can I just ask, what is the industry?
It's
what
are
we?
Wait,
no, furry, really. Furry. What are we talking about? Okay. Is this the
Hollywood,
entertainment media? Yeah. What
okay,
industry?
The
comedy
industry?
Jersey.
Well, the entertainment industry, right. But specifically in my case, Jay and I's case, the comedy industry, and you'd be in the radio industry really predominantly, but you'd be in radio film.
Jeez, I was two weeks ago I was a budding comic. Now I'm out.
Well, no. I said predominantly.
All right. Am I like an apprentice?
You're in radio and film. I mean, in radio and TV predominantly.
Yeah.
And I'm in comedy predominantly, although you wouldn't know that from this podcast. Now, the thing is that, here's the thing. Here's the industry. It's the entertainers.
Yep.
Agents and managers.
Yep.
Lawyers.
Jay.
Orbiting. Hey, Vinny, look at me.
Vinny,
15 yards.
Jessica, you got to sign us off.
Vinny,
we got to go.
Talking.
We got to go.
All right.
We have to have Vinny back, though.
We will. Did Vinny. He ever have a point to make, or no? We got to go.
We got
to
go. I'm sure your point was great.
Smile
every
once in a
while.
Vinny.
It's all
speaking ADD with Bill Spadia.
I am Bill Spadia. Follow me on Twitter at Bill Spadia. Remember, subscribe, download,
rate,
comment,
review.
The whole thing.
Can I plug my stuff? Can I do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Oh my God, he said it like okay. So you listen to my podcast.
Don't pay the bills. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Stop talking.
My podcast, A Comic Step Podcast. Twitter, Vinny_Brand.
Yeah.
Facebook, Vinny Brand, and Stress Factory. We're very proud to be sponsors.
At Stress Factory CC on Twitter.
At Stress Factory CC on Twitter. Vinny_Brand on Twitter.
Right.
You can call my cell phone.
And a cell phone.
908-601-6. Call me. This is what I want to do. If you're a podcast listener, only. I want you to call my podcast, my cell phone at 908-601-6976. And I need you to tell me whether you are listening and enjoying the podcast.
I have an idea.
Good.
Let's take it one step further. So now you've got Vinny's cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Call him when you subscribe.
There you go.
And tell him, I just subscribed.
That'd be
and
wonderful.
He's going to give you two tickets to the Stress Factory.
I am. Oh,
what do you think of that?
I love that.
Is that great?
Yeah. I love it.
Real quick, on August 9th, which happened last week.
Yes.
Did you have an open mic night that I was at to open at 8
o'clock?
You
were so
wasn't I good?
Funny. Oh, my God.
Outstanding.
You were so funny.
Outstanding.
August
9th. That's my favorite word. August 9th,
you're going to be at the club. And
at the club.
It already happened. I want you to do me a favor.
Sure.
I need you. You don't have to announce it. Don't announce it. Start coming more. Just, you don't have to go on radio and say
it.
Because if you want to do this work, and I know you do, you got to be on stage a lot.
Yeah,
I agree. You know, I mean...
Well, that's why I'm announcing it now. It already happened. So I showed up at the Stress Factory. It was awesome, outstanding, and it worked. All right. I am at Bill Spadia. My co-host, Jessica Nutt, at Chasing Jess Nutt. And
I'm at Real Corey Feldman.
And Jay Black at Real Corey. Is that his Twitter?
I have no idea. I just assume it's probably Corey Feldman something or other.
All right. And we're out.